Last week, we celebrated Vacation Bible School, and on day five of VBS, we spoke about Peter and John being at the gate called Beautiful, right? And the kids did a great job in VBS reenacting it. One of the kids got on the mat, other kids lifted up the mat while he's on it and putting him down, and it was a lot of fun. And I talked to them about the heart of this passage here. And I want to really dive into this passage as we start our series called Going Fishing. Going Fishing. I've asked before, but how many of you like to go fishing? All right, now, don't put your hand up too quick for this one. How many of you accidentally caught a fish? You're sitting in your home, and your pole jumps into your hand, and suddenly you're transported to James River, and you're pulling in the biggest walleye you've ever pulled in your life. Doesn't happen, right? Because why? Because fishing doesn't happen without preparation. It's intentional, right? It's intentional. There's strategy involved. You ask around, you go, hey, what's the best spot to go fishing in? Where have you been catching fish? I want to catch some fish, right? You buy the right bait. It's fun, but as I was saying, you don't accidentally catch a fish. Of course, right? You don't go into your boat and go, you know, really, I'm looking for a boot at the bottom of the lake. That's what I'm looking for. You know what? I'm looking for an inedible clam, right? You go fishing getting fish, right? You're on the hunt for fish. Yes, you're patient, but you're in pursuit. And although fishing is very peaceful, at times, you're still active. And Peter and John were fishing in Acts chapter 3. Look at what they were doing. One day, Peter and John were going into the temple at the time of prayer. And we'll be in Acts chapter 3, as I said, at 3 in the afternoon. They were focused on prayer. And you'll see the words on the screen. But again, you can pull it up on your smartphone or your Bibles in front of you here. In other words, they had God on their mind. They're on their way, and they saw a man crippled from birth who was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. Some commentaries have said it was called Beautiful because it was ornate. It was made in bronze, and there were all these amazing carvings at that gate that he was sitting by in the temple. That there was the outer court and then the inner court where the Jews were. And so he's sitting by that gate there. And our first point today is this, and we'll go into that. I'll go back to it. When you're fishing for Jesus, powerful things begin to happen. When you're fishing for Jesus, powerful things begin to happen. When you're on mission for him and focus on prayer and you partner with the Holy Spirit, you start seeing the world differently than you did previously. Our text says he was put there every day. You know, we go about in the busyness of our lives and people become part of the scenery. They become part of the backdrop. We're just used to seeing them in our lives, in that piece of our life, whether it's at work or at the grocery store or wherever it is that you see them. But when you start going fishing with heartfelt prayer coupled with action, things begin to happen. Your compassion wells up, not just so that you want to give financially alone, like giving to feed my starving children here, but it overflows to more than that. You want to give what only God can give. And I'm sure Peter and John have walked by this man before. It says daily he was put by the temple gate. He had been lame from birth. This is 40 years of being lame in his legs, having no power to walk in his legs since birth. But today, focused on prayer, Peter is prompted by the Holy Spirit to do something different. He casts out his line with a worm on it, and he says, "Look at us. Look at us." Now, why am I making that motion? It's so this man can give them his attention, but we fish And when we fish, we want our bait on the end to catch inside of the lip of that fish, right? And so when we feel like there's a tug, we give a little jolt, right? We give a little kick back. And the purpose of that is to sink the hook in. And Peter does this when he says the words, "Look at us." He's jerking the reel, right? He's grabbing his attention. And the Bible says that the man was expecting to get something from them. When that fish eats that worm, he's expecting to get something, right? He's getting a lot more than what he thought, but he's expecting to get the worm, right? And so Peter sets the expectation. And when you pray for your lost friends and your family, you're beginning to prayerfully start fishing. Start fishing. You pray for them daily and you begin to have eyes that are roaming to and fro, looking for that special fish and looking for the bait that you're going to need to catch that fish. You're looking for the best spot to fish. What better spot than the temple gate called Beautiful, huh? You know, I think about this. I think about heaven. And here he is, you know, in essence, he's sitting at the pearly gates. He's sitting at the door of heaven, right? And he's sitting there and he's waiting for them to do something. He's waiting for God to do something in his life. He's waiting for you and I to invite him in. And today we're introducing opportunities for miracles to happen in our lives. Each of you have received, and again, I'll go back here, our My 5 card. So there it is, My 5 card. If you're visiting with us today, don't feel that you have to do this, but as you track with us in our series and you'd like to participate in this, jump on board. If you regularly attend our church, this is an assignment. It's an assignment for you and for me. This card in your hand, now if you would you hold this in your hand? This card, I want you to start praying about who is sitting at the gate called Beautiful that you interact with. Maybe they're in the scenery of your life. Maybe they're your neighbor. Maybe they're a friend. Maybe they're a coworker. Maybe they're your second cousin once removed. I don't know how they got removed in the first place. But I'm praying for them, right? And so you write them down, but you're asking the Lord, who is it? And maybe God's even giving you somebody right now, and so you can take a pen right in front of you, and you can begin to write in their name. And maybe the Lord's giving you another and another. Some of you would probably say, I need 5 of these, Pastor. Okay, I get it. We've got extra. If you really want 5 of my 5 cards, but you're going to keep this in your wallet, and you're going to pray over those that need Jesus, that need to come in to the gate called Beautiful. And so this is our assignment, and I want you to write them down. It might be, again, someone that you see every single day that maybe has just been part of that backdrop of your life, but with the Holy Spirit, you start seeing them with new eyes. You start seeing them with new eyes. I was praying and on what new series we would go into for our summer series, and God just kept on bringing to my heart, going fishing, going fishing, going fishing. And then the cousins went to go visit some family in Indiana, and Leonard's dad's church is doing this series surrounded by praying for 5 people called My 5. I personally have done this in the past and have seen God move through intentional prayers for those that need Christ. And God was, as I shared, already moving my heart towards this going fishing series, which is a reach your neighbor series, which is a what did Jesus do to go fish series? What did the disciples do to go fish? And around South Bend, Indiana, this is where they're doing this series. And we called them up, we talked to them, we said, hey, we'd like to share, as we begin this series, we'd love to hear a testimony of somebody using the My 5 cards and praying and then living this out. So let's take a look at that.
Hey, my name's Caroline, and this is my My 5 story. I was at the mall the other day with some friends. We had gone to lunch, and we were on our way to the pet store because we wanted to see puppies. And this lady in one of the, like, middle aisles, she was working at one of the phone places. She stopped me because she saw a necklace I was wearing. And so I just told her kind of the story behind it and just had this really brief conversation with her. But then when we moved on, I kind of felt like I was supposed to go back and talk to her more. And so I just remembered how Pastor Mark was talking about not being in a rush, and I felt like I left too soon. And so I went back and I said, this might sound kind of weird, but I'm from the Vineyard Church, and I feel like God just wanted to tell you that you're a very peaceful person, and you carry a lot of passion, and he sees that, and he loves that. And so I ended up giving her my necklace, and I also gave her one of our invite cards to church. And I said, is it okay if I write my phone number on here, so if you want to come back to church, like, you can reach out to me? She texted me right away so I could have her contact info, and she was like, oh, just text me anytime. We can just talk about anything. And so we actually were texting a little bit after that, but I remember when she looked down at the card in her hand, she had this look in her eye, and she said, you know, I don't think anyone's ever actually invited me to church before. It was just neat to see how when you take that one first step of obedience, the Lord just shows up. And now she's coming to church in 2 weeks. Yeah, it's just cool to see how the Lord was working in that.
As Carol Ann talked about, you're also going to get invitation cards. And those invitation cards will tell the time of our church and then have a little map, so they know where it is. You can also write on the map a phone number. Say if, again, you do what she did and said, hey, can I get your phone number and connect with you? The little packets, we've got these cards. So if you want these cards right away, you can get them this Sunday or next Sunday. But we're getting a little packet for you. So you can put 5 of those invitation cards in with your My 5 on the front, and you can just stick that in your pocket. Stick it in your wallet. So you have this little pack with you everywhere you go. And so stick it in your front pocket wherever you put that. But Carol Ann is just going about normal life, right? And the lady is the one who initiated the conversation. And, you know, I used to sell cell phones, so I would be in that little kiosk and I would try to initiate conversations, right? So you can get a sale. So she was fishing, but for something different, right? And so she initiates that conversation. Carol Ann was moved to linger longer and share a word of encouragement with her. And I love the connection point. And I love what this woman said to her. She said to her, I don't think anyone has invited me to church before. Now, I don't love that she's never been invited to church before. I love that Carol Ann was the first one. I love that as she was praying, as she was fishing, she looked for divine opportunities where this person could have just been another person's scenery in the mall. You ever in the mall and you just feel like lights are coming at you and it's just a busy place and people are in the hustle, right? And you're just on to your next store, right? And so we could be that Carol Ann where we say a quick hi and then we move on. But the Holy Spirit pricks her heart, right? And says, you need to go back and you need to talk to that lady. And I love that part. I love that part. And so Carol Ann, in essence, said, look at me. And she set the expectation and told her, God just wanted me to tell you that you're a peaceful person and that you're passionate. And God loves that about you. How many people, if you think about it, in the world, think if they do believe in God, they think God's mad at them. They think God is a God of fury. He's upset at them. He doesn't want to come near them because they're filthy, because they're dirty, because they've done things that they're ashamed of. And Carol Ann said, God loves a piece of your character that was made in the image of God, made to be passionate, made to be that peaceful, kind person. And God loves that about you. And she heard it first from Carol Ann because the Holy Spirit moved on her to share that encouraging word. She shared the love of God and the character of God and the compassion of God. And God used Carol Ann You take that one step of obedience, Carol Ann says, and the Lord shows up. This isn't just a pastor saying the Lord shows up because, you know, pastors are supposed to say that. This is Carol Ann. This is a girl with a young face, a sweet girl just going around about her business, and the Lord uses her, right? Because the Lord wants to use you too. He wants to use me. He wants to use you. And you know what I love about this story too? That you're not always going to get it right the first time around. Right? Remember, she had to go back. Right? She had to go back. You need to linger longer. You need to get back there. Right? You know what? Remember Peter? He got things wrong and numerous times before too. He told Jesus not to go to the cross. I think that's a pretty big blunder. Right? He is on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he's seeing Moses and Elijah, and he treats the Son of God like they're on the same par. We'll build a little place for you and a little place for them. You guys are all equal. And who does he get rebuked by? The Father himself.
This is my son.
As he's on his face and freaking out, right? He's so scared. He's hearing the Father rebuke him. I mean, if you could mess up that much, right? But even Peter will go further in messing up. Because in the time when Jesus needs him the most, he says, I don't know you. I don't know him. I don't know him. And if we mess up, guess what? We're in good company with Peter. And we're in good company with people that maybe don't get it right the first time, but get it right the second time or the third time. Carol Ann got back to that lady, and I believe she changed this woman's life for eternity. When we step out in faith, God shows up, and he will show up through your prayers for the five people that you put on this card. I believe that. There's faith that couples with prayer. Amen? That God is going to touch these people's lives. That you're going to take the next 8 weeks and you're going to say, I'm committing to pray for these people in the next 8 weeks. I'm committing. And then I'm committing, God, to be obedient to you. When you tell me to step out, I'm going to step out. And I'm going to be obedient to you. When we step out in faith, God shows up. And he will show up through your prayers. So let's go back to Peter and John and their fishing experience. So what does John do? I might need you to click on the screen. So what does Peter and John do to set the hook? Again, he says, look at me, right? He says, look at me. He's in a very public place. And if nothing happens, he could look like a fool. Sometimes we could look like fools. That's the risk that we take. But rather a changed life and look like a fool than no reaching out at all. And so here's Peter and John. And Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, this is back in the 80s, but we used to sing the song, walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God. In the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus Nazareth, rise up and walk. Something like that, okay? So I remember that song. That song comes back to me because songs you remember, right? The song comes back to me when I'm singing, when I'm reading this passage. And he's walking and leaping and praising God, right? He's probably not singing like that, but he is so stoked. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Our first point this morning was when you're fishing for Jesus, powerful things happen, begin to happen. Our second point today is give it your all. When the fish are biting, keep fishing. Right? How many know that as good fishermen and good fisherwomen? All right? when the fish are biting, you keep fishing. You don't go, oh, I got one. Time to go home. Right? You wait till you get your full amount that you can get, right? And then they're like, well, my daughter can't fish, but she's here and she has a license. I'll fish for her. Okay? pray about that one. Okay, but anyways, when the fish are biting, keep fishing. Seize the opportunity. Don't let the others fish get away. When something supernatural happens, guys, guess what? We tend to sit on that miracle and go, wasn't that miracle exciting? You remember 20 years ago? Wasn't that miracle exciting? We're going to sit on that miracle for the next 20 years. Isn't that great? No, God wants to do more. He wants you to keep fishing. He wants you to have more fishing stories, not just one fishing story. He wants you to have more. So he says, keep on fishing. Keep on reeling them in. It's awesome that that happened. But let's have it happen again. If you have an attentive audience, be ready to share your faith more boldly. Be ready in season and out of season is what the Bible says. Peter gets up in the temple and shares the gospel. And I'm going to take this powerful evangelistic sermon, if you will, the speech that he does, and I'm going to put it into 5 points that we can get the whole fathom of what Peter shares. One is he gives Jesus the credit. You think it's important to give Jesus the credit? I do. I think sometimes God does a miracle at church. He does something supernatural at church, but then we don't want to tell our non-Christian friends because we're afraid that they're going to think we're just emotional. We're afraid that somehow we're embarrassed to tell about it. The miracle needs to go somewhere, not just in the church. When God moves, you share about it, right? Give Jesus credit. It's his power working through us, Peter says, in the temple. And so are the Sadducees and the goons that grab Jesus in the middle of the night. These people are in the temple. And so Peter not only gives Jesus credit, but then he calls a spade a spade. What do I mean by that? I mean, Peter doesn't sugarcoat the gospel. Look what Peter says. He says, Jesus. And I believe he could even point to the chief priests. He could even point to the Sadducees. He could even point to the people that said, crucify him, crucify him. And he says, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him, but you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. Guess what? Don't be afraid to call sin, sin. Love the sinner, but call out the sin. There are times where we need to acknowledge that you and I are saved by grace and that all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Include yourself in it, right? But then point number three, have compassion. Have compassion. And you're like, is that an oxymoron? No, it's not. Because you can still call out sin, sin, and then have compassion. I think people that really mess up call out sin in somebody's life, but they have no compassion. They're just pointing the finger at you. They don't want you to change. They're not showing Jesus to you. All they're doing is pointing the finger. They can point out the sin in somebody's life. The Holy Spirit will convict people of sin, right? But then he says, and now, brothers, let's go to it. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Peter is saying, you were ignorant. You didn't know any better. You know, it sounds a lot like the words of Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And next, what does Peter do as he's fishing? He says he's calling them to make a decision to change. He's calling them for a decision to change. He says, repent, therefore, and turn back that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. And then Peter backs it up with evidence for Jews that love the scriptures. He backs it up with evidence. Jesus, whom heaven must receive It's a little bit small writing, I apologize. Must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke of the mouth of his holy prophets. These people read the prophets. They love to read the prophets. They pull out Isaiah. They pull out Jeremiah. They have read the scriptures. And Peter points to the scriptures. He said, Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you, and it shall be that every soul who does not listen to the prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You are those line. You are those kids. You are those generations. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. And what do we know the results of this? It says here, but many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. This crippled man created a crowd. What had happened to him was more than a marvel. It was a sign. The power by which Jesus had healed such people during his public ministry was still present and active, exercised by who? By mere fishermen. Right? Unschooled fishermen is what they're called. God wants to use you and me, mere fishermen, sometimes catching clams. He wants to use you and me. He wants to grab a hold of our hearts and lives and say, I want to use you to go fishing for the people that you care about, the people that I so desperately care about. And I'm going to use you, and then I'm going to turn around and I'm going to use those people. I'm going to use this guy that just experiences Jesus. And he's going to testify by jumping and leaping. Sometimes you don't just testify by words, right? He's jumping and leaping. And he is a sign that Jesus is among us, that Jesus has risen from the dead, that Jesus has equipped us to do the work that the Lord has for us to do. I want you to remember that Jesus cured a paralyzed man by commanding him to rise and walk, in very similar terms to which Peter did. And Jesus said, hey, so you can know that I forgive sins, because before he heals him, he says, your sins are forgiven. And everybody goes, oh, only God can forgive sins. And Jesus says, so you know that I can not only forgive sins, but I have the power to forgive sins, rise up and walk. And the paralytic walks, right? Peter is doing the same thing. Jesus still risen from the dead, not here with us, but sending his Holy Spirit can forgive your sins and can forgive my sins, that he is truly the Son of God. He truly is the promised one that Moses talked about. And he said, a prophet is coming. And some of you even called him a prophet. But guess what? He's more than a prophet. He's the Savior of your soul. Let's go fishing this summer and believe God for your five and what God can do to even multiply that five to 5,000. Amen? That God is in the addition business and he's also in the multiplication business. Thank the Lord he knows his times tables. Peter started with one, and the end result was the number of Christians rose to 5,000 men, and that's not even including women and children. I'd like to think of it as the number rose to 5,000 families. We don't want to just touch individuals, right? It's awesome to minister to just one individual. And we say this all the time, Jesus would have died just for you. He would have died just for you. But Jesus wants to touch families. He wants to touch generations of families. And well, not just they'll live that way, but then their grandkids will live that way. Their great-grandkids will spread the gospel. Jesus wanted to touch families, and he was touching families that day. Through our My Five cards and the power of prayer coupled with compassion, people will start coming out of the tapestry of your life. You'll fish them out. You and I will invite them out and invite them in. You heard the gospel in a nutshell this morning. I think it's good for the church to hear the gospel. Amen? And I think it's not only good for the church to hear the gospel, to be reminded, but it's so you can share the gospel. These are some pretty easy points. When God does something, give Jesus the credit for it. Call a spade. When there are times you need to be bold about something and you need to step out about something in their life. Maybe God has given you insight into their life, right? I'm not trying to say things over and over again, so I apologize in advance. But when the speaker at youth camp said, there's somebody here, actually I think there's a few that have problems in their right knee. That was a word from the Lord. That was a word of knowledge, right? And what did that do also? That gave like, wow, okay, that's the knee that's hurting me. I have faith to be healed, right? Because God called me out. He read my mail. Maybe God is going to use you to read somebody else's mail. And maybe it's just a right knee. Maybe it's something specific about their life. God can do that. And then have compassion. Listen, the Holy Spirit is the compassionate one. He comforts us like nobody else can. He is so compassionate, and he wants to give you that compassion. He wants to pour out on you his compassion. And so you heard the gospel in a nutshell. You and I have acted in ignorance. Many times we've missed the big picture. We're caught up in the deception of sin, but God has taken off the blinders, and now we can see. Eternity is planted in your heart. There's at the core a desire and yearning that there is more to this life. It's more than just living and dying and trying to get through this life. Christ has offered us eternal life. He's offered us not just in the sweet by and by, but he wants to change your life today. He wants your life to be transformed today. And there's at our core a desire and a yearning for more. It's not just about living and dying. Christ has planted that in there, and he offers eternal life through his sinless life, his great sacrifice, his rise from the dead in glory. He offers us eternal life, but we need to make the decision to follow him. The evidence is in the life of the lame beggar. And I say it often, so people that have been here for a long time have heard it often, but my life is kind of like the beggar's life. I had bacterial meningitis. I should have died or been mentally handicapped. Loss of hearing, loss of speech. I went into multiple seizures. My temperature reached 107 degrees. I know people that have been affected by bacterial meningitis, by spinal meningitis. And I'm telling you today, I stand as a lame beggar. Christ healed me. I asked a teenager in our church, I said, have you ever seen any miracles? And he said, no. And I said, you're seeing one right in front of you. You saw one at church. Like, you've seen miracles. And even if it hasn't happened to you, you can share about it. Because you know somebody that's standing there that wouldn't be standing there if God hadn't intervened in a supernatural way. So, miracles are for today, and it's the evidence that Christ can forgive my sin. It's evidence that Christ can forgive your sin. He offers us eternal life, and I'm a witness to it. And so I would be negligent if I wouldn't say I'm going to give an opportunity. If you're here this morning with your conscience pricked, and you say, you know what, I need to turn my life over to Christ. Maybe I've, you know, said it in the past, but I've kind of wandered away in a place that I shouldn't. It's a simple prayer. A, admit you're a sinner. Admit, that's the A part. B, believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for your sin. C, confess that you need him and commit to follow Jesus all your life. Would you pray with me and ask God to take you on the journey with him today? If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. In that raising your hand, you're making that declaration and you're saying, I need to do that. That's a decision I need to do. God, you've prompted my heart and you pricked my heart, and I was going in the right direction, but maybe I turned and I, I need to just recommit to you. I'll just take a moment. I see that hand. Amen. Amen. And so I want to pray with you. I'll just take a moment more. But that's all you need to do. It's more than a simple prayer, though, because you're going to walk out committed to him. You're going to walk out saying that my life is different because I am returning to him. And so would you say, Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. And I want us to practice, because I want you guys to practice this with people out in the community. Would you say, Jesus, everybody say it together, Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. But I believe that you lived a sinless life, that you died in my place, and you rose in victory. So I confess with my mouth that you are the Savior of the world, that you are the Son of God. I confess that I'm a sinner and I need your grace. And I commit to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's what you can share with others, guys. And you can give them a card that says, I'd love for you to come to our church, because you know what? What does a new believer or somebody that's returning to Christ need to do? They need to find a Bible-believing church, right? They need to have a Bible, and we can connect with them with Bibles. If we need to start giving out Bibles, I usually give the ones that are in the seats here, but we can buy more. And just tell me, hey, Pastor, I'm grabbing this Bible for a friend that I just led to the Lord. We'd be happy to give those away, especially in our Going Fishing series. And so, again, they need a Bible. They need to commit to a church. They need to start having daily quiet time. So maybe find a good devotional, whether you have one or you need to recommend a good one, right? And again, where they can grow, right? Because they need to be in a place where they can grow. And so, secondly, as we close today, I'd like us to pray one more time, and that is for believers. That's for you guys. And we are praying in agreement that we are, today, we're going to commit to go fishing for 8 weeks. This is your fishing license. Can everybody say, this is my fishing license? This is your fishing license, okay? Now, you can catch more than five, all right? There's no limit, okay? But this is your fishing license. And so you're committing for the next 8 weeks to say, Jesus, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be praying. And then also, I'm going to step out. So would you bow your heads with me? And if that's you, I just want you to lift up your hand. And you can do that in front of everybody, in fact. So open up your eyes. You're saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do my five. So would you take your card or your hand and raise it up? Saying, I'm going to do this. And let's pray as we're with hands lifted. God, today we are committing to you that we're going to go fishing for the next 8 weeks. We believe that as we go fishing for you, Jesus, that powerful things are going to happen. You're going to coordinate circumstances. You're going to put people in our pathway. You're going to help us to see the scenery of our lives and who needs to come out of that scenery. That you, Holy Spirit, are going to make them stand out to us. We commit to give it our all. When we fish and the fish are biting, we're going to keep on fishing. You've called each and every one of us to cast our rod, to cast our nets and be fishers of men. So we trust that as we pray over our My Five list, lives will be changed forever. Thank you, Holy Spirit, in leading us through our steps of obedience. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. So be it. Wonderful.